All right, everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and I got a question. Are you ready for some degeneracy? Because it's Grimm's Hentai Corner, and we are back with Maggot Bates, requested by you guys. Thank you, whoever requested it. Not really sure. Is it, I think it's heavy-handed. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, the guy requested it. We're definitely going to continue to do more of this. Of course, somebody's gonna be like, oh, my name is so-and-so. Well, yeah, you're being shouted out. And, hey, if you guys want stuff, request it, request it. Put it in the comments. Send me a message. I read everything. So, yeah. I want you to cover this as long as it's in fucking English. I can do it. So, yeah, here we go. Maggot Bates. You wanted it, you got it. About 5 kilometers out from Kanto's Pandemonium sat a mansion in the mountains. At that moment, everyone using that house as their base, was gathered in its front garden. Tsunaga Shogo stood at the center. He had laid low after their raid several days prior and had yet to take new action. One reason for that was their enemy's halt in operation. There hadn't been a single public execution hosted with witches since the last one. It was almost certainly wariness of Tsunaga. Yeah. It was almost certainly awareness of Tsunaga, right. The witches had disappeared entirely from all of the temporary storage centers throughout the city. Odds were high they had been moved into Slumville for now. That meant the period of crushing their extensions was already over. The board was finally shifting toward a direct all-out battle between Tsunaga and the enemy's ringleader, Shimon. There wasn't an easy way to penetrate Slumville, their central base. There were countless enemies they had to consider, strategy, equipment, opportunities, etc. This temporary rest also meant reorganizing to face the coming threat. However, the other reason for it was... Aha! Over here! Oh, not bad! Hey, wait up! Tsunaga looked up at the distant, clear azure sky spreading above his head. Two shades of light were cutting across the brilliant cobalt backdrop. They flitted freely through the air like dragonflies, leaving trails of light behind them. These trails passed and crossed at supersonic speeds like acrobatic fighter jets. The ones raising their voices in joy at their aerial battle were Gloria and Allison. Is that really Allison? Carol, the one who beheaded her, was first to mutter that. She gazed upwards, watching the lively figures tracing random arcs through the blue sky. Her pomegranate eyes lacked emotion, but her voice carried a faint tone of bewilderment and confusion. Yes, that was the other reason, the revival of Allison, who Tsunaga and Carol knew they killed before. They couldn't just ignore that mystery as they planned for the future. At the very least, she looks the same. However, if it's true she died, then she can't be the exact same person. Wilma answered. Her eyes glowed jade green as she followed Allison's flight in the sky above. I didn't see it myself. So frankly, it's harder for me to believe what you two are saying. Though I know you have no reason to joke about that, so I have to take your word for it. You're always so serious, Wilma. Compared to you, Gloria's, well... Serica was outside with them. She was watching the two frolic in the air with a smile. Carefree like that? Does it really matter? Whether she's a ghost, a zombie, or whatever, she's right here before our eyes. Anything can happen in this city anyway. If you start questioning every little thing, there'll be no end to it, right? Her tone was cheerful and carefree. Wilma turned her gaze away from the sky and towards Serica's profile. The way you talk makes me wonder if you know something. Did it come off that way? Well, you know, it's not like I know anything worth mentioning. Serica forced a bitter smile, feeling somewhat guilty about letting her mouth slip. I just know we can't rely much on common sense here. Take yourself, for instance. How much do you know about yourself? Isn't that just how witches are in this city? Her words pricked at Wilma's inner dilemma, but she didn't show it. She knew Serica was speaking about witches in general, not trying to pry. In the end, nobody knows anything. Besides, I've heard plenty of rumors about similar things happening before. What? This time, Wilma's expression shifted. Even Carol and Tsunaga turned their attention towards Serica. I heard that the last witch who had her head cut off was found walking around the city without a clue not too long after. What? You're saying witches are secretly coming back to life? I told you it's just a rumor, like a horrifying urban legend. Besides, there was some pretty ridiculous nonsense thrown in with it, too. The snuff shows that served as the final stages of the witch hunts were primarily meant to provide entertainment for outside VIPs. Some of the citizens were involved, but those few were also involved with the Pillar of Pandemonium. Very few would know without a doubt that witches had died in the past. That was probably why it never grew to more than a rumor or an urban legend like Serica mentioned. Well, is that really all that surprising at this point? I may as well say it now, but aren't you all pretty ludicrous yourselves? Serica spoke with an amused tone to laugh away the serious silence. You girls don't have any reference to think coming back from the dead is unusual. It may be that it's natural for you. Neither Wilma nor Carol were able to refute what Serica said. She spoke the truth. Absurd phenomena existed as truth with no explanation. That was part of what defined Cantel's pandemonium and formed the invisible chains binding witches here. We're not reaching a conclusion. Tsunaga spoke up, breaking his silence. Witches had stood in his way at every turn since he stepped foot into this vile city. As for how he should face that mystery... Either way, it's irrelevant to my objective. He spat his response strongly, ending discussion of the topic. Carol and Serica both nodded in response. However, Wilma alone wouldn't hide her blatant discontent. Learning what Tsunaga just brushed aside was her greatest reason for cooperating with them. While discussion continued, the two flying around the sky finally landed. They both exchanged smiles, showing how close they'd grown. Gloria Oni-chan, you're strong! Yeah, I am strong. You admire me? Yeah, I do. I think I can become strong too. Sure. If you want to become stronger, I wouldn't mind taking you on as an apprentice. I will. I want to be your apprentice. Then call me Master starting today. Yes, Master. They completely hit it off, but Wilma stared at their exchange, giving them an appraising look. Carol was doing the same beside her, but she approached Allison shortly afterwards. Do you really not remember me or Shogo? Her gaze subconsciously fell on Allison's nape. Carol was absolutely certain she had cruelly severed that pale thin neck. She could still feel the vivid sensation in her hands. No. Allison nodded, looking almost guilty about not remembering Carol. Wilma watched over them, feeling a dark anxiety starting to take root in her chest. She recalled the moment she met Sandy. Even though it had been the first time for her, it had seemingly felt like Sandy was familiar with her. Wilma couldn't help but think about it. She wondered if the odd sensation she felt back then, as if she had misbuttoned her shirt, had any link to what was going on with Allison now. For starters, she couldn't even remember the first time she appeared in this city. In terms of time on this earth, it should have only been 7 years ago. Gloria. Unsure of herself, she lowered her voice to a whisper while standing beside her comrade. Yeah? Do you remember when you first met me? Hey, don't make fun of me. Of course I remember that. Her smile slowly grew serious before growing tinged with confusion. If I recall, you were the one who called out to me, right? Or was it the other way around? Gloria gave a muddied answer. Yes, she couldn't remember, just as Wilma herself couldn't either. She could remember yesterday's weather, and even what book she read yesterday. She could also explain what she was doing a week ago in detail. But the further back she trailed, the more memories were shrouded in mist. Though it was more like the flow of time itself had become hard to grasp. 1 year ago was a phrase she understood as a concept, but she couldn't frame it in reality. She could recognize short-term memories, but she couldn't organize events into a long-term chronology. It seemed to be a mental deficiency of all witches, including herself. She normally overlooked it, but facing Allison right now gave her the chance to consider that fact. Wilma once more observed how the little witch reacted. Allison's gaze turned towards Tsunaga while everyone watched. I don't remember this man's face either. Allison's eyes looked up at him, glimmering with a beautiful, deep gemstone hue. Yet for Tsunaga, that light appeared disturbing to no end. They were an absurd symbol thrust before his eyes. The very premise that life and death were irreversible in this world was shaken by the simple truth before him. This re-encounter with death, the experience called forth the memory of that face in his dark dreams. The root and the symbol of the one and only fear Tsunaga had. Phantom pain shot through the scar on his forehead, a heavy cold numbness settled deep within his chest. The chilling thought of once again encountering that if he continued on this path. What's wrong? Are you okay? But that illusion was severed in an instant. At that moment, the only reality Tsunaga recognized was Allison's worried look and tone. I'm fine. It's nothing. His unusual smile and consoling tone were a means to hide his embarrassment at such a young girl seeing through him. Truth aside, Allison smiled happily at hearing that. Really? That's good. So even you can look kind if you're dealing with kids. Haha, I like that better than your usual scowl. Gloria wasted no time teasing him for his reaction. Maybe the truth is, he's actually one of those people who likes little girls more? Serica picked up Gloria's baton and went overboard. They both smiled at each other while Wilma heaved an exasperated sigh. Whoa! And now we face rising suspicion that competitor Tsunaga might be a pedophile. Perhaps he ought to take this chance to make his preferences known? Well, don't you think so? Don't you think so? Serica held out an air mic, pretending to conduct an interview. Allison clearly didn't understand the point, but she happily played along. You want to know, right, Carol, about that? Serica turned the topic on the idol Carol, giving her a suggestive look. Her prim, proper, and expressionless cat-like face wavered slightly at the question. She looked at Tsunaga with hesitation for several seconds before nodding slightly. Might want to. Her words were hesitant, but Gloria relaxed and showed the whites of her teeth. Hear that, Shogo? I'd like to ask you the same myself, while we're at it. Even if Wilma objects, we've got a majority. Time to give it up. Don't drag me into this. So frivolous. Wilma waved her hand with a disconcerted look, retiring back into the mansion. She's as antisocial as ever. Mister, you're really big. Allison suddenly hugged Tsunaga's waist as he stood silently. Even stretching her short arms as much as possible, she still couldn't reach all the way around his torso. For a moment, he felt all of his hair stand on end. Allison's identity was still unknown, but right now, he was also sure of the pure smile before his eyes. He couldn't be mean to her. Gloria and Serica both looked on with interest, unaware of Tsunaga's inner thoughts. She's really taken with you, huh? Well, age-wise, he's more a father than a brother. Allison was playing innocently. Her small stature and peppy voice made Tsunaga recall his days working the police box he was stationed to right after he graduated from the police academy. Every morning and evening, there were yellow school cats and cheerful voices moving in herds and filling the streets. The cherished lives of the future. He even felt pride knowing he was one of the police protecting them. The memories of those days were distant now. It was a world he would never be involved in again. An afterglow of the daily life he had abandoned precariously on a cliff. That was what Allison's smile made him recall. Suddenly, something made a noise in the garden. Allison's attention turned toward it. A cat! There's a cat! Her eyes shone bright as she dashed after it, quick as a bunny. Tsunaga was left behind, despite her showing him affection moments ago. In a sense, her whimsical behavior seemed cat-like, too. A stray cat out here? It must be a tenacious survivor. Serica tilted her head in doubt. Ignoring her, Tsunaga turned around to walk off. He was heading for the entrance of the mansion. Hey, wait, Shogo, you still haven't told us about your preferences. Tell us already. Tsunaga paused for a moment, coldly glancing back over his shoulder. I'm gay. He spat with an annoyed sigh, resuming his pace. This time he didn't turn around, leaving behind all the women with their eyes wide in shock under the blue sky. He opened the door to the room he had taken up residence in. Without warning, something pale swept into the room past his feet. Now, gentlemen, what you saw was a total fucking Chad move. All these women are like, oh, what's your blah, 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 blah. And he said, I'm gay. And everybody just stops. Boom. Tsunaga is more or less not gay. But when he says that, like, just boom. Everything shattered. Because they're like, are you a pedophile? You blah, 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 blah. I'm gay. It changes everything. He just, like, he said the one word. That's like a fucking wave just. And they're just blown away by it. But they won't fuck with him anymore about it. I guarantee it. That is a fucking Chad move. He opened the door to the room he had taken residence in. Without warning, something pale swept into the room past his feet. Given Allison's earlier behavior, he briefly thought it was a cat, but... It wasn't a cat in his room. A young girl was suddenly standing with the afternoon sun shining on her through the window at her back. Oh, shit. Her wax-like skin marked her as the anonymous witch. The glossy hair stretching down to her hips was like mother of pearl. Changing to a bewitchingly rainbow color depending on the angle. You and I have already met before, correct? This is our first time speaking, though. Her frank tone as she spoke contrasted with the impression her appearance gave. She shared the gemstone eyes of other witches, but their hue was seductive as she stared at Tsunaga. What do you want with me? Tsunaga coldly analyzed the situation as he looked back into the light of her eyes. He first witnessed her on his return from the raid. Though they had both caught sight of each other, it was only a short second in passing. The second time was when Tsunaga happened to see her on a street corner. It couldn't be coincidence after the third time, though. Sneaking into Tsunaga's hideout and showing herself meant she must have some clear objective.
just to say hello. Despite that, the anonymous witch just gave him a suggestive smile. The furrow in Tsunaga's, I don't know if we're saying Tsunaga or Tsunaga. The furrow in Tsunaga's brow deepened. What? I'm everywhere in the city, so I can see you wherever I want to. I just wanted you to be more aware of that, is all. The moment the Jane Doe replied and smiled, Tsunaga's body acted with animalistic agility. His right hand shot forth at lightning speed, all five fingers bundled into a sharply pointed spearhead. The blow turned his fingers into a keen weapon, possessing the power to pierce straight through two new thick mats. But his killing fingers stopped just short of her pale throat. The nails shallowly dug into her skin, causing a thin trail of fresh blood to fall.
What are you planning?
I think it's Tsunaga. We'll use Tsunaga. Tsunaga grew suspicious of her intentions. A witch's repulsion field was capable of deflecting all physical attacks, so a set of bladed fingers should have been pointless. Despite that, she was bleeding. The Jane Doe had her repulsion field off. If Tsunaga hadn't stopped her hand, it would have shot mercilessly through her narrow neck. That would mean death for the witch before him. I just thought it might be fine if you wanted to kill me. For a moment, those words, kill me, froze Tsunaga's mind. The anonymous witch stared at his frozen expression with a quiet smile. You. His pupils dilated as his heartbeat soared. The figure before him was connecting with a darkness lurking in his subconscious. The young girl's pretty, pretty face was overlaid with a dark, eyeless one in his memory. Who are you? Though he feared the answer, Tsunaga couldn't resist asking. Life and death, past and future, a rage and despair surpassing those irreversible flows of fate, bound Tsunaga's limbs like a curse. If the laws of the earth didn't apply here, then it was possible to re-encounter the dead. Allison herself had just proven that, hadn't she? Well, who indeed? The young girl lightly evaded his question, teasing him. Perhaps I might be someone whom you know, but I can't be for sure right now. Only fate will answer that question. I do know one thing at least. The two of us met in the city because we were meant to. Who I am to you is something you'll understand eventually, for certain. Her irises glowed bewitchingly as she gazed out the window, toward the highest cylindrical skyscraper beneath the sky of Kanto's Pandemonium. A breeze blew in through the slightly cracked window, suddenly billowing the lace curtains. They hid the girl's tiny frame for a moment, and then she was gone, already out of Tsunaga's sight. Deep within Slumville, at the place presently being used to contain multiple witches, Edna and Carla had fallen into their clutches at different points, but oddly enough, they were both about to reach the final stages of their cruel destiny simultaneously. Their fates were plain to see by each of their swollen, pregnant bellies. It was time for them to give birth to their repulsive life forms planted into them by the maggot seed. Look at them. It's hard to tell by sight which will be up for scrapping first. Both only have about 4 or 5 days left, huh? The men lightly exchanged conversation as they engaged in their work for the witch hunters. It sounded just like the daily conversation of slaughterhouse workers with cattle on the other side of the fence. I don't really see the point of having those monsters breed them once they're pregnant, but apparently that's not the goal either. It's more like they're trying to break their minds once they've come this far. More importantly, this time Edna and Carla were up for scrapping. The men even shared some dirty talk about which one was better when they stole a taste. At the end, their conversation turned towards a trifling bet over which would give birth and get dragged off to slaughter first. It was all part of their typical pattern. Time after time, I feel like it's a waste, but there's always a next time. The dry phrase he casually spat out referred to the next witch. Hold on. Did the dry phrase he casually spat out refer to the next witch who would be captured and brought here? Or did it? Oh, yeah, this is awesome. What a passionate, deep kiss. She sure is showing off. You're so hot for your monster husband, Edna-san. The men laughed vulgarly, but Edna barely heard them as a whisper. Her head was completely swallowed inside the maggot's mouth. Stop it. Even after being engulfed by the monster's mouth and its vomit-inducing stench, Edna didn't show any will to resist. Drained of all her magic power and reduced to a mere woman, Edna didn't have the strength left to push the maggot away. Words were her only means of defying the violation of her own body, but those were brutal and unreliable. No way, don't pound. Enemy so hard. Her lower half was rendered naked while her head remained engulfed, and another maggot violated her from below. Its thick, dick-shaped tendril reached out, spread Edna's pussy wide open, and grinded into her, thrusting relentlessly. Worse, the tip of the tendril slammed into her so violently that it shook her womb. You woke the baby. It's moving inside. Edna's body jerked, shaking her heavy, hugely swollen and pregnant belly. A new life was growing inside her stomach. Like the earlier men had suggested, the monster surrounding her head had planted its seed in her. No way. It feels so good. Even when the baby moves. Every time the maggot's feet had squirmed inside her womb, an electric, numbing, sexy sensation raced up her spine. She was forced to bear the child of this physiologically repulsive maggot, having her head gnawed at by the monster and fucked in her pussy while still pregnant. Her legs were spread out like a frog's in pathetic display as the maggots had their way with her, constantly infecting their gruesome assault. Edna was as powerless as a little girl at the moment, reduced to nothing but a base, pitiful bitch. The maggot undulated its oral muscles, swallowing Edna even deeper. Her head was now completely cut off from outside air. Before she knew it, she was perfectly sealed inside the membrane, short on oxygen and unable to breathe. With every second, it grew harder to think. She says, "Don't thrust right now." Her nostrils, her mouth, her ears, every hole in her head was completely blocked up, and while Edna's body spasmed from the lack of oxygen, the monster's tendril mercilessly drove into her pussy. It scraped against her hot, wet walls, slamming the tip of its tentacle into the embryonic sac poking out through her open cervix. Even though her body trembled from the agony that was being inflicted upon it, the pleasure from the tendril fucking her cunt made her hips bounce for more on their own. That's enough! Her frail pleas couldn't reach the men outside. Edna had passed the point of suffocation, drawing steadily closer to death. Her body shuddered as her urge to vomit, her headache, and all of her agony grew faint. Even though the pain had subsided, the overwhelming pleasure washing over her from the maggot's thrusts raced through her body ceaselessly. It's bulging! The tentacle went wild in her pussy, swelling up and trying to shoot its fresh baby batter into her pregnant belly already packed with maggot's child. Too rough? The tendril expanded like it was trying to crush the child and pounded against her womb violently, almost like it was trying to abort the other's child in order to impregnate her with its own offspring. And it was on the verge of suffocating to death, and even though they were exposing her monster baby to danger, she couldn't do anything to react, let alone protest. No, regardless of the situation, she couldn't resist the pleasure she felt from it pounding her pregnant womb and slick cunt. The pride and resolve she once possessed, as well as the faint motherly spirit that had taken root since she was impregnated, were all stamped out by the tremendous pleasure. Edna desperately pleaded for relief from the painful sexual pleasure about to wipe her mind in ways she suffered the agony of suffocation. Still, the tentacle fucking her slit ruthlessly picked up its rhythm. The main tendril was swelling up even further as its seed passed through its legs. Oh, it's almost cum time. Well, wanna bet on it impregnating her with one more? Nah, I'm placing my bets on it crushing the child inside to death and knocking her up afresh. That sounds entertaining too. Yeah, ha ha. The men's vulgar laughter couldn't reach the current Edna. I'm about to die, she says. Oh, I'm coming. It felt good being unable to breathe. It felt good even through the agony. It felt good even as she was about to die. Like, I'm coming. Climaxing on the verge of death, Edna's whole body spasmed like crazy from the top of her head to the tips of her toes, as if waiting for the exact moment the reproductive tendril delivered the final blow. The tip of the maggot's tentacle pounded her amniotic sac so roughly that her pregnant womb was changing shape. Edna's mouth was perfectly sealed, sucking at the membranes covering it as she let out a muted cry while the maggot howled to announce its imminent seeding. The tip of the tendril erupted, firing its hot jizz deep into her cunt. The burning hot juices coated Edna's pussy and she climaxed, screaming in silence. She continued to climax the incredible agony of suffocation and otherworldly pleasure she felt forcing her to claw at the surface of the maggot, engulfing her head as her legs pathetically flopped around. Ah! She's coming while she's getting eaten! I bet that perverted witch would come even if she's being eaten up and turned into shit. While the men joked, Edna's bodily functions grew weaker, even as she writhed in choking orgasm from her womb being intensely fucked. The arms scratching of the maggot's body stopped, and the legs flailing about fell still and limp, leaving only tiny spasms. Oh, did she finally die? Did she suffocate? Ha ha, she must be happy dying while coming. Just as the men said, Edna's breathing stopped completely. She was unable to breathe, so all her body functions ceased, bringing her to complete death. However, witches were cursed creatures. Even after death, they returned to life. Witches weren't allowed to put an end to their cursed life. The moment she returned, she fell back into the hell of suffocation. No matter how desperately she struggled, she wasn't allowed to breathe. All she could do was pathetically flail her limbs like an overturned frog with its head swallowed whole. She's flying around again. She'd suffer less if she just gave up and died. Idiot. That witch is a huge perverted masochist. She's obviously coming back to life so she can suffer. Edna's desperate pleas were heartlessly swallowed down the maggot's throat, never reaching the men jeering at her. I'm dying again. Her entire body lost its strength and her vision was dyed red. Her body was suddenly growing cold. Cold, freezing, falling, fading, scared, dying. Edna's body went limp as she died. And then once again, she returned to life and a complete lack of oxygen. Like, no more dying, no more dying, no more coming back to life. She had no means of stopping this agony. Death and revival only added to her suffering. Please. Please, kill me. I want to die. She raised her arm with all her strength while struggling with her muddled consciousness and dug into the maggot's head. Then she tried to force the monster swallowing her to close its mouth and bite her head off at the neck. However, she died again partway through the attempt. While Edna repeatedly died and revived, the huge maggot extended its long tentacle-like tongue into her mouth. The maggot's huge tongue shoved its way down Edna's throat after she revived. Its tongue explored her mouth. Both tongues rubbed together, slimily licking each other. Even though the creature's tongue carried a rotten smell that left her physically revolted, and even though her mind was fading from the suffocation, the pleasure of the friction still stabbed into Edna's brain like needles. Her entire body shuddered with the ecstasy of her mouth being toyed with. The tongues entwined with each other, the maggot's slick slime coating her membranes. It would normally be unbearably unpleasant, yet pleasure raced through Edna's body. The monster picked up on that instinctually, and its main body undulated gingerly, extending its long tongue even deeper in. The maggot's thick tongue passed by Edna's thin tongue and delved deeper into her. The maggot played with her uvula using the tip of its tongue. The caresses caused both an urge to vomit and intense pleasure to surge through her. Her body spasmed from the overstimulation, losing what little air was left in her lungs and causing Edna to expire. Then she revived again, as if cursed. Edna cried out in despair. She died and revived only to die again immediately. She could only repeat the meaningless cycle of life and death. She was fed up. She wanted to lose her head and rest. Yet, as if scoffing at Edna's plaintive desire, she was given the agony of suffocation and the pleasure of her tongue being licked at the same time. Instead of forcing itself down, the monster's tongue rubbed against her tongue, uvula, and the walls of her throat, traveling down to her esophagus. Edna writhed as it plugged up her trachea, adding to the agony of suffocation even though the friction in her mouth gave her pleasure. The maggot's odoriferous tongue slid beyond her throat, and while it once silently tongue-fucked Edna's body, a new tentacle drew near her. The maggot fucking her pussy extended another dick-shaped tentacle out to Edna's ass, spreading her open and plunging into her rectum. The tentacle plunged straight into her ass, stimulating nerves that, when combined with the agony and pleasure in Edna's oxygen-deprived brain, set her off into intense orgasms. The pressure inside her body caused a muffled moan, and she died while climaxing. Despite her death, the maggot didn't hesitate to continue grinding its tentacle deeper into her ass. The tentacles in her ass and pussy rubbed against each other through her walls, causing Edna's body to explode with impossible delight. She expelled her remaining air under the intense pleasure, her body bouncing obscenely. Still going deep in my belly, the tentacle passed through her rectum and dove into her small intestines. It pressed and scraped its thick tentacle against the narrow opening in her rectum, pressing itself deeper inside. Her stomach was already swollen with the monster's child, but the pressure from the tentacle in her ass made it bulge even further. The shape of the thick tendril was clearly visible through the skin over her mons. Even as her pregnant belly cruelly disformed, Edna soared to the heights of arousal and her oxygen-deprived state and writhed against her double penetration. It is there going, my baby is there going so deep in my belly, it's hard to even read it. Her belly bulged out past its limits thanks to the tentacle filling her ass on top of the hideous monster child stuffing her womb. Even amidst that agony, the tentacle boring into her pussy kept rocking her womb. The slick friction overwhelmed her with mind-blowing ecstasy. She climaxed as she passed out, then her breathing stopped again. During that moment, the tendril shoved himself deeper into her large intestines, expanding her small intestines and slamming against the walls of her duodenum. Ugh, my stomach! The tendril forced its way into her stomach as she expelled everything left in her lungs. There, it slammed into the long tongue penetrating down her mouth. The tongue and tendril entwined with each other in her stomach, rolling together and forcing themselves against her stomach lining. Her stomach spasmed, not from an urge to vomit, but from the unbearable pleasure of that flesh rubbing against the walls of her organs. They're coming from my stomach! Both tentacles violently fucked her organs, causing her to climax from her stomach, and Edna's body convulsed like she was being electrocuted before expiring. Immediately after, Edna's heart began beating again. My baby's got in there! Don't kill it! The constant repetition of life and death thoroughly shaved away at Edna's reason and sanity, leaving nothing but her unnatural maternal instincts. However, even that evaporated in an instant. No more! She wanted to die, yet she didn't want to die. She wanted to live, yet she didn't want to come back to life. Nothing made sense anymore. Beyond even pain and suffering, Edna reached another orgasm. Her repeated suffocation left her mind bleached white, and in her intense arousal, pain transformed into pleasure, and pleasure called forth further climax, until everything eventually transcended into ecstasy. He says, dying feels great. Her body arched back and halted for a bit, but the moment she revived, she grabbed her own breasts and started massaging them. Yeet, as long as it feels good. Her breasts had grown larger and her belly bulged. Now she was groping and squeezing them. She cast aside everything that was part of her, seeking only pleasure. Broken down by the countless successive suffocations, her mind was now completely shattered. That pervert started fucking masturbating. Looks like she got hooked on orgasming to death. What a perverted, masochistic witch. Brings a man to tears to see her practice milking herself for that monster's baby while she dies over and over again, doesn't it? Makes me want to slice her tits off. She was launched into a state where everything, even death and rebirth, was meaningless, and she only indulged in pleasure, groping her own breasts. Milk's coming out! Ah! Every time the former warrior's fingers dug into her swollen breasts, white juices erupted from her nipples. I'm coming, coming from milk? Edna's body shuddered from her climax as she lewdly leaked milk from the tips of her breasts. The feeling of milk passing through her glands and the sensation of her skin becoming sticky and wet, causing an obscene orgasm, sending milk spraying as she suffocated. With her mind and body completely broken, even suffocation was just another heightening factor to her. While Edna died in orgasm, her pussy and ass tightened and loosened, repeatedly clenching and stimulating the tentacles. Oh god, my pussy. My pregnant pussy. I'm coming from my asshole. Poo scraping. What? The tendril pounded violently into her pussy as if to break the childbearing sac peeking out of her cervix. Thick tentacles pressed against her organs and her stomach and intestines, scraping against her walls as they wrestled inside her. When Edna returned to life, she was greeted with overwhelming pressure and ecstasy, the nerves of her brain completely fried. The pleasure of suffocation was destroying Edna's brain, and her once proud features were gone as she spouted off dirty phrases that were far beyond her previous self. Not good, my pregnant pussy ass pussy and coming tits feel great? What? She groped her breasts with all her might, spraying milk before expiring. Even death and revival had become pleasurable, mad joy rising up within her as she stuck her out her tongue and laughed. I don't even know what that is. She let out a cry while engulfed, her body constantly shuddering and twitching without end. Edna was laughing on the verge of death. Unable to even breathe, she was laughing with her cracked voice. Dying, oh, it's great. Coming to death's the best. I don't even know. I'm coming. She climaxed while she laughed and died. Enraptured by the pleasure of death, she found joy in her end and turned it into another means towards ecstasy. Oh, God, my baby's getting lit. The tentacle fucking her pussy reached an intense pace, practically stroking the sack, protecting her child with its quickened thrust. Edna's huge belly shook, and she climaxed as her womb tightened from the pleasure of her child being caressed through her sack. At the same time, the tip of the maggot's tendril began to swell. You're coming, tentacle cock. What is there a number sign there for? Edna's mind and body were prisoners of pleasure, and she laughed as her pregnant pussy and her stomach were filled with milky white jizz. She reached the peak of arousal, mashing her breasts so hard they completely lost their shape, causing them to spray milk everywhere. I'm coming, my baby's whatever. Semen or something. Edna laughed as she milked herself, and just as she orgasmed to death, the tendrils erupted deep in her pussy, splattering cum all over the amniotic sac in her womb. The tongue and tentacle reaching all the way into her stomach sprayed cum so hard that their tips almost burst. Coming in me. Huge loads of cum poured into her organs, and Edna laughed while her body arced back hard, jerking her womb clamping down in the throes of her orgasm. Her belly already bulging with child and tentacles swelled up near bursting with huge loads of jizz, but she just continued to laugh and climax. It was the greatest joy Edna had ever felt. Her stomach took on more cum than it could hold and contracted, forcing the sticky contents up in her throat with terrifying force. Gah, whatever that is. Edna still couldn't breathe, even as she vomited the sticky filth. She continued laughing, even while vomiting. Vomit, orgasms, what? She hit the peak while laughing and vomiting, then she died. As she repeated the aberrant cycle of death and rebirth, her eyes rolled back in her head, cum shot out from her nose, and vomit choked out of her mouth. The once noble witch was no longer anywhere to be found. There was only something less than an animal, a lump of mad, lustful flesh. Aha! The maggots turned their pregnant woman into a toilet. shaking that pregnant belly of hers and leading me on. I want to rip open that witch's stomach and thrust my cock inside. Who are these guys? That's gruesome, man. At least keep it down to fucking your nipples. What? Gahaha! The laughter and brutal words of those vile men echoed around them. Still, I had forgotten there were even people around her, pathetically struggling to breathe, laughing, vomiting, continuing the climax as she suffocated. Ugh! These scenes are so long! Ugh, stop this already. Carla was bound by the maggot's tentacles. Bent over on all fours, its reproductive tendril was already plunging into her pussy. She was already bearing also bearing a monster, and her unsightly bulging belly was hanging down beneath her. Most of her body was exposed and dripping with sweat, and the thick tendril inside her pussy caused her trailing juices to froth. It was clear that she had already been abused heavily for quite a while, even after getting pregnant. My nipples, too. Stop. Milk will come out again. Her breasts had grown larger than before, storing up plenty of nutrients for her child, and now thin tentacles were wrapping around them and milking the liquid inside. Further thin tentacles with nub tips were rubbing their heads against her stiff, erect nipples, too. With both of those at work, she was constantly spraying milk everywhere. Don't milk my breasts. Let me go. Every time the white juices leaked from Carla's nipples, her hips jerked lewdly back and forth as dizzying pleasure assailed her. Syncing up with that were several combined tentacles rubbing their fleshy protrusions against her pussy and getting stroked by her contractions.
Oh, Sister Maggot.
Aroused by the movements in her pussy, the maggot howled and increased the rhythm of its tentacles. Pounding me so roughly, stop, I'm pregnant. Carla spat her words of protest, but the monster continued its assault without relent. The maggot could tell her words were empty. The tip of its tendril banged up against the protruding sac, shielding her child and her womb. No way, if you thrust into my womb, you'll break my baby's sac. My baby will come out. Despite her fuss, Carla didn't show any signs of objection. In fact, her moans were tinged with arousal, and her hips were bouncing obscenely. Her dignity as a fearsome witch was completely absent from her face, and she looked more like a pathetic sex slave hooked on drugs.
Come,
don't come inside me anymore, you'll startle the baby. But despite her words, Carla subconsciously kept shaking her pussy and hips indecently. Every time the tendril scraped her pussy, it pressed down around the nubs as they slid against her. Even though she felt physical revulsion at the creature's filth, her body was now greedily seeking pleasure from it. No, Carla herself longed for it to come in her pussy, too. She knew she would shamefully climax when he poured its hot cum into her pussy, but no, that was exactly why she wanted it in her. She wanted to come as more of its seed splattered against the child in her womb. Ugh, his tentacle cock in my pussy swelling up. Don't come! Her body was now accustomed to lustful pleasure, and she moved on her own so the tentacle would thrust deep into her pussy, angling the brutally swollen tendrils so the tip would grind against her baby, like she was trying to mash her own cervix. No, no, don't shoot your semen at me, don't spray it on my pregnant womb! Unable to hold back from Carla's lustful movements, the monster howled and plunged its tentacle in and out of her pussy. It's coming. Not me too. Carla and the maggot both in sync. Carla thrusted her hips on the tip of the tentacle, and the maggot slammed its tendril deep into Carla's flesh. The tendril smashed into her cervix loudly. Again? It's shooting semen into my pussy. No! Still, Carla was slovenly drooling as she reached orgasm. Her spine jerked and arched back as she savored the mind-numbing pleasure. Even though the pleasure came from a hideously repugnant bug, she couldn't deny it anymore. She thought this might be fine. It wouldn't matter who she was with. She could go back. She'd go with it as long as it felt good. These thoughts began to play out in Carla's mind. So without any embarrassment, I'm coming. Oh, even though I'm pregnant, there's semen spraying all over my body. And I'm coming. She's coming again? That fucking witch still doesn't feel pregnant enough, huh? Guess she doesn't like the monster's child. Maybe we should cut her stomach open and pull it out. Yeah, these guys are nuts. In that case, I want to knock her up with mine. Maybe she'll feel like a mother when she's bearing a human child. And when she finally feels like a mother, we can feed that fresh baby to the monsters. That's cool, man. Gah! The men around her said whatever cruel things they wanted, but Carla just climaxed and twitched without a care. She wanted to indulge in that comfortable heat, arousal, and pleasure forever. I came, even after falling limp while enveloped in a pleasant exhaustion. Her body shuddered and enjoyed the afterglow. However, the maggot extended several thin tentacles from its main body. Oh, it's finally gonna do it. I can't wait to see how Carla Chan finally breaks. The men all watched over the two with anticipation. Suddenly, thin tentacles undulated and surged toward Carla's eyes. What? Carla's thoughts were hazy, and she vaguely noticed the tentacles before her, but... Carla's body jerked as she let out a high-pitched howl. Then tentacles shot up her nose and into her ears. Not only that, but the ones in her ears dug at her eardrums before forcing their way through. In an instant, they had advanced into Carla's head. Why? Confused and unable to process what happened, Carla could only let out short cries as her body intermittently spasmed. Her eyes and mouth opened stupidly wide, and she found herself unable to close them. Before long, red droplets began leaking down the tendrils, penetrating her nose and ears. Blood and even spinal fluid, cerebrospinal fluid, the key fluid filling the skull of any human body. The tentacles in her head increased the pressure in her skull, forcing the fluid outwards. Gah, what are... Assaulted by a strong headache and nausea all at once, Carla's face instantly went bright red before quickly shifting to pale. Her limbs began to spasm unnaturally against her will. Whoa, the brain fuck show is finally starting. I've been waiting for this. Try thinking of a name for your baby while it's making soup out of your brains. I'm sure you'll come up with a great dumbass name. Oh, my boy is shitting on his own. Stop it. The tentacles were plugging up her nose, and Carla lost the ability to pronounce words properly as they reached her brain. She heard the men say brain fucking break, causing fear and anxiety to take root in her heart. Brain fuck. Did that mean these thin tendrils on her head were going to rape her brain? She really would break if they did that. My head now. The thin tentacles in her skull wriggled together, licking over Carla's brain. Electric impulses raced through her body, arching her back with a jerk. Then as she started feeling a dull headache and an urge to vomit. Even the tentacle caught in my pussy. The maggot stick tentacle was going wild in Carla's pussy as if trying to overwrite the pain with pleasure. The fiendish pearl-like nubs rubbed their slick surface against her pussy, grinding and scraping its walls. They even pressed up against the sack containing her child, nearly crushing it. Carla felt a terrifying new level of arousal from the intense pleasure of pregnant sex and the shock of her brain being toyed with combined. Every time the tips of her tendrils touched her brain, she felt her limbs tremble uncontrollably. The sensation was sickening, but the ecstasy she felt was carved clearly onto her brain, nearly frying her pleasure centers. She couldn't differentiate between discomfort, pain, and pleasure anymore. It almost felt like she wasn't herself, as if her body and mind were separate. Stop it, please. Stop it, stop it. Her weak heart gave in to the unfamiliar fear, and she started pleading like a madman. Despite being with an abhorrent monster, Carla didn't care about appearances anymore. But even her hoarse pleas weren't reaching the maggot. The thin tendrils finally started squeezing in between the wrinkles of Carla's brain. She heard an incredible sound like an earthquake centered in her head, and her vision rattled and blurred accordingly. Carla let out a senseless cry of shock, and her entire body twitching and heaving like mad. Her eyes literally spun, pupils turning to face two different directions. Oh, it's here, cock's here, here's cock in my brain. What? Peep, 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 peep. Beep, beep. Yeah, your speech degraded as if she reverted to a young child. Then Carla pissed herself, and the filthy sound reverberated throughout the room. Carla Chan, did you wet yourself? I wet myself. Wetting myself feels good. Carla didn't feel a shred of shame despite the humans and the monster watching her. She just shamefully spread her legs before the men making fun of her, letting yellow piss spray out without hesitation. She happily repeated the same dirty childlike phrases, words she never would have said otherwise. Carla had become an imbecile. Cock, cock, oh, goes to my pregnant pussy. Cock goes. She repeated the filthy words over and over, lewdly wriggling her own body to take in even more pleasure. She didn't care what form her partner took, instead just swinging her hips like a whore trying to please a man. Ugh. Yeah, she's seriously become an idiot. This is super funny. Can you tell me what 1+1 is, Carla Chan? Seeing that Carla's ego was starting to collapse, the men surrounding her laughed vulgarly. Cock in my asshole, 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 ass pussy. Cock feels good inside my ass, but wow! Suck my clitty, looks like clitty, 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 suck my clitty, clitty, cock, clitty, cock, oh, my girly cock, what the fuck? Carla, shoot from girly cock too, girly cock, come, pew, pew, come, splurt, splurt, cock. Oh my god. Every time the tendrils ground into Carla's brain, she spouted nonsense. She was suffering from mental damage, and her eyes pointed in different directions like some sort of madman. Well, why? Why would you use my ass pussy and girly cock? What? Carla wants to come while you spread my ass pussy. The maggot ignored her, so she threw a tantrum like a kid who wasn't getting their toy. Then, as if to get back at them, buy my boobies more, boobies squeeze, squeeze, nipples, nipples, pull more,
Forgetting that she was being restrained, she removed her body from the thin tentacles clinging to her chest and started trying to make herself feel even better. Her breasts had grown bigger, and the tentacles wrapping around them dug in tighter, causing milk to leak from the nipples they caressed. Carla no longer had any dignity as a woman or a witch. She was just a sow and eat. So would eat, whatever. Ah, milk's coming from my nipple cocks, movie cocks, semen, milky cocks. Wow. Carla reached a light climax as she jerked her hips and spat indecent words. Even as she spouted nonsense, her pussy was undulating and squeezing down on the thick tendril inside, trying to milk its seed. Her pussy forced its way into the gaps between the nuts on the thick tentacle, trembling and rubbing against it. Come, oh, 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 here we go.
Come, oh, oh, oh.
Come, baby coming, 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 birthing, hee-hee, semen splotting on baby, ah-ee. Carla clamped down on the reproductive tendril, slamming her hips back to mash it against her baby. The sack protecting her child rubbed against the tip of the tendril, roughly grinding against it.
Oh, oh, oh.
The monster howled, filling her pussy with its hot seed. Yeah, semen, 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 lots of daddy juices in my pussy. Carla joyously took its huge load of jizz into her cunt, savoring her orgasm. Her body arched and twitched, her head spasming. Those huge motions caused the fluid resembling cum to pour out of Carla's nose and ears and came directly on her brain. The daddy juices will make babies, babies coming, coming, coming. I'll bear more babies, so fuck the baby too. Come on the baby, I'm coming. What? Her womb rippled and contracted. Well, no, we're right. Contracted constantly under the intensity of her orgasms, if it was going to crush her amniotic sac. Sensing the forces in her body, Carla came while babbling about her baby. Still, her face was that of neither a mother nor a person. Her eyes were facing different directions, and her mouth hung half open, tongue lolling out as she climaxed with mad joy. More, come more.
Oh, it's like, more, come more.
Just as the force of its spray started to wane, the thick tentacle swelled up again and erupted from its tip. Semen still pouring, squirty squirt!
Oh.
The maggot roared as its body and tendrils undulated. Oh wow, it's spewing, spewing. Carla, it's come poured into her baby, her speech degraded even further. It was coming on her brain, filling her skull with its jizz. The filth unloaded from the tentacles in her nose, and her ears finally began to spill out through her eyes as well. Something red mixed with the fluid, staining in a bright pink tone. Why is it red, huh? White? Wet? I can't see. A mixture of tears, felt, and blood covered Carla's eyeballs, robbing her of sight. Moreover, she lost her sense of smell as well, and her sense of hearing was quickly waning. The thin tentacles in her brain wriggled around as if to finish the job. Hee-hee. Splurt, 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 splurt. It shot another huge load of cum into her head, while its thin tentacles drilled in further. Oh, violating her brain. They grinded over the wrinkles, churning her brain up like a blender. Fresh blood leaked out of her eyes, nose, and ears. Bits of flesh that used to be gray matter leaked out, too. Carla lost consciousness. Her body continued to spasm violently, jerking as if being electrocuted. Despite that, her pussy continued to squeeze around the thick tentacle inside her. Her wet folds wriggled, seeking more cum. Even with her brain destroyed, Carla was climaxing. Ah, she's a gyner now. Coming while getting brain fucked is pretty ridiculous, though. How was it, Carla Chan? Were your brain juices delicious?
Delicious?
Yah! The man laughed at her state. Or the men laughed at her state. The maggot continued to fuck her despite destroying her brain. The area surrounding her filled with piss drool and the raw stench of cum. Her body was stained with every possible foul liquid as she fostered a new life within her. And it was in that awful state that Carla pathetically breathed her last breath.
Ah!
Woo! That's why I read those so fast, because they're long as shit. I really think the scenes in these are too long. And they're not that great, to be honest. Like, I mean, they just go into so much detail, and it gets silly, and it's just, they're too long. They're way too long. So that's why I did what I did. After sunset, a jet helicopter looming over the ground, shrouded in jet black darkness, was approaching the outskirts of Cantel's Pandemonium to make a landing, engines roaring all the while. Its altitude dropped every second, and the sight below it gradually filled with the lights of a city in the distance. They glittered gaudily and ostentatiously, like a box of treasure scraped together by thieves. That's old Kajo City, the one presently recognized as an anarchy zone. No religions or national laws still function inside that place. The pilot of the jet helicopter announced that to his passenger in the black seat. The black man in his dark suit looked down at the lights of that vile city. His eyes caught a powerful flash through the windproof glass, a burst of flame propulsion behind a rocket launched from the ground.
The helicopter took a direct hit and burst into flames. Losing control, the aircraft entered a tailspin, succumbing to gravity's pull and crashing in a huge blaze. It transformed into a coffin of steel and duralumin? Several hundred meters away from the flaming tombstone, a single Warren truck was stopped on the national highway. In the bed of the truck were several armed men, all high on alcohol and drugs. How do you get high on alcohol? The men perched on the hood chugged whiskey from the bottle, shouldering a long cylindrical weapon which looked like a bazooka. And don't tell me absinthe. It was an old Soviet SAM for foot soldiers. It was a few generations outdated, but it was still a devil on the battlefield. Its infrared homing system letting it shoot down. Yeah, its infrared homing system letting it shoot down low-flying planes. He had just used it to shoot down the helicopter flying toward them, cremating all of its passengers. The impaired men raised a huge cheer at the grand flames billowing up, carrying on like fools. The men were a group of armed thieves who hid out on the Japanese side of the border into pandemonium, raiding any goods going in or out. Today they were drinking because they haven't earned anything, but a civilian copter just so happened to fly overhead. Half the reason they even fired a missile was because they were completely drunk. They couldn't stop laughing. Their reasoning had devolved into madness under the influence of drugs and alcohol. Eventually, their mad uproar settled like the tide moving out. Hey, what's up with that? The man in the passenger seat forced himself to speak when he spotted a figure calmly walking out of the flames. He was probably on board the helicopter, but he was completely unharmed. He wasn't even bothered by the intense heat of the explosion and the shock of crashing. It wasn't a feat normal humans were capable of. Thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel, remove violence and spoil, take away your exactions from my people, you see. It means we are human when we practice temperance and charity, for God has created us to be so. The towering, nearly 2 meter tall black man, the Inquisitor Valentinos. His suit wasn't even marked with soot, let alone burnt. Yet, you are all as perfect as you are. For there must be maggots like you who shirk God's good graces in this world, or I would be lost. The man on the hood cast aside the empty launcher and pointed his shoulder-slung automatic Uzis at Valentinos. For if you did not exist, I would not be able to taste the sweet honey and joy of this violence sanctioned by God. Valentinos bared his white teeth, laughing with joy. He seemed wholly defenseless before the gun capable of sowing death in seconds. The man aimed at him and pulled the triggers. Rather, not the man. The men aimed at him and pulled the triggers. White flashes of gunfire lit the darkness, hammers pounding away like typewriter keys. However, the 9mm parabellums fired by the dozen each second simply fell off Valentinos like powerless flies. His ebony skin and even the material of his suit remained unscratched. The unreal scene before them surpassed any drug-addled hallucination. For you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm against a wall. The Inquisitor's lips sang out a verse of scripture. His pace did not stop. The men forgot to run or fight, fixated on the walking anomaly before them. For resentment killeth the fool, and envy slayeth the simple. Oh, hallelujah! He then bent each of his thick fingers one by one, into a huge, tight fist. Formed alongside the scripture, it became an iron hammer bearing God's sacrament. An overwhelming yet invisible force condensed into Valentino's drawn fist. A fearsome disaster far beyond a simple gun began manifesting within it, ready to strike this land. Tremble before God's might, then die like maggots! With a ferocious laugh more demonic than holy, Valentino swung down his fist. The air shuddered with a tremendous explosion, and then everything before him vanished. Those struck by that might were exorcised to another plane without leaving a trace. It was less destruction of the target and closer to complete elimination, as if their existence had been utterly rejected. Dust swirled up high into the sky, immediately following the show, as the yellow dust blanketed the night sky, silence slowly returned. All that remained was a crater several miles wide, as if a meteor had just struck. The truck that used to be there, all traces of the villainous men, and even the asphalt of the earth had vanished as if they were never there. It was far too clean to call a massacre, and far too sinister to call purification. Only the huge man in his dark suit remained on the plains after that ferocious assault. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love, and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Valentinos muttered, motioning across as he brushed away the fluttering ash and dust. His cheeks were raised into a joyous smile. Truly, truly, this city needs me. Oh, my beloved maggots, I shall exterminate you. Then his ebony frame began advancing towards the city lights in the distance, step by step. Kanto's pandemonium. Tonight, that melting pot of chaos and vice welcomed in a new evil known as God. Chapter 5, In the Mists of Life. By the way, I think I got to chapter 6. And we are going to leave you on this torture here for poor old Wilma. It's funny. I remember seeing Wilma just kind of safe and sound, just not a couple... I don't know what happened. She was kind of safe and sound earlier, unless that weird girl abducted her. I wonder what happened. I like Wilma. Well, I guess this is gonna suck for me then. Anyway, guys, we'll get on with this. If you guys like it, you know, watch it, comment, all that good stuff. Sorry, message me, let me know you want more of it. I know you want to see that fight between Valentinos and see what he does to this place. It's pretty awesome. It's a good fight. At any rate, this is a Grimlord, and I am out of here. I will see you guys next time on Grim Sentai Corner.